Kia ora, my name is Richard. I'm one of the pastors here, but more importantly, I'm a connect group leader. I get to lead groups, share life with men and families. We're really glad to do that. I'm glad you came today. And it's such an honor and a privilege to bring the Word of God to you all. Are you all doing well? I know some of you are not, and that's okay. Some people in the room are grieving the loss of things, and some are worrying about this coming week. People bring stuff, and you got to bring it in. I think this whole fake idea of everything's got to be together, that's not church. That's not Jesus. Come on, it's about being real with Him and letting God just invade that space and take us to places in the Word and places in our faith to know Him more deeply. Praise God. So however you've come in, welcome. We're glad that you are here. Who's enjoying the summer? I tell you what, isn't it good? Although I don't like these hot nights. I managed to get myself a brand new fan yesterday. It's so powerful, it nearly knocked the hair off my head. Just, it was amazing. My teeth were rattling just about. And then I found out, actually, the true story, right, babe? We assembled a new fan. Thought, man, it's noisy and not much is happening. I mean, it's a little bit of, you know, bit of movement, but hardly anything. And we thought, what's going on here? So at about 11 o'clock last night, I thought, maybe I've put the fan around the wrong way. I took the cover off, I put the fan back on, I switched. Whoa! Woo! It was exciting. Yeah, praise God. So here we go, getting my cool nights back. Got a good night's sleep last night. Praise God. Well, we are kicking into, today we're launching a brand new series. It's called Amazing Grace. What we're going to do is we're going to look at six different angles of this thing called Amazing Grace. It's like when you take a diamond and a light like this, and you get that diamond, and you rotate it ever so slightly and slowly, and different angles and different shades bounce off or go through. I'm not sure of the right science here, but you see different color in different shades of the same color. So over the next 6 weeks, we're going to rotate that diamond to look at this thing called Amazing Grace. Now, this is a whole lot more than just a sermon series, because what's so cool about this whole thing, it's more really a campaign or a season. What's really cool is Amazing Grace, the series and the fasting and the prayer and the daily devotions is all being done together by every nation church. That wasn't a stutter. There is all every nation churches. There we go. That sounds better. All around the world, from United Arab Emirates to Scotland to Ireland, all the way across to Nigeria and West Africa, all through the continents, maybe not Antarctica, but in all of our churches throughout January or February, depending on your context. For us, it's February because we're all down the beach chilling out, right? And so we want to wait till everyone comes back together. And so the whole globe is doing this. Isn't that cool? So it's more than just a sermon series. Like I said, we've got prayer meetings coming up. We've got an app. I mean, it's incredible, the technology now. We're going to all track the same devotions each day. There's little videos for us. There's going to be booklets together. And we are going to journey this together. How does that sound? And the whole idea is that we appreciate with deeper conviction, I suppose, the amazing grace of God. And we all pursue God together. Because I don't know where you're at. I think I know where I'm at. God knows where I'm at a whole lot better. I don't know where you're at, but I'm pretty sure that we could all say we would all want to grow closer to God. Would you say that this morning? Can you say that in your heart? I want to be more like you. And the way you do that is actually do less of us and more of Him. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to stand now. If you could please join me and stand. And we're going to run that introduction video. And then we're blessed to have the scripture today being read out by just a fine, fine young lady.
We've heard a lot of things about grace. But have we taken the time to see what the Bible really says about it? It's time to go deeper into God's Word and get a better look at the many facets of grace that saves us, sustains us, and empowers us to live freely in His amazing grace.
Much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to the condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Let it press into us, let it conform us. Let it be alive in us. Let us give us understanding in your powerful name. Understanding that would go beyond just a list of precepts or theoretical concept, but rather it would translate to lifestyle change, to a deeper love, to worship on Monday through to Saturday. Lord, let it be in us, we pray in your precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you, please. Take your seat. Thank you so much, Karina. She did so well. And it wouldn't be our church family without a few technical hitches along the way. May 2019, not even 1 year ago, in Atlanta, Georgia, in the good old US of A, at Morehouse College, an amazing thing happened. 400 students gathered for something really special. They gathered to graduate their class. They were relieved. They've put all their assignments in. They've done all the hard grind and all the hard work. And there was a sense of excitement and I guess really a healthy pride that they'd achieved something. There was a sense of buzz in the atmosphere. They were dressed real fine. They had gowns on and those funny hats. And the sun was shining. And there were guests and family and friends all around the perimeter of the event. And up front was a stage with dignitaries and faculty were all up there. And something was about to happen. You see, not only did they feel excited and looking to the future, but also there was a pressing anxiety. What would the future hold, and how were they going to pay their student debt? Each student had amassed, on average, $100,000 of student debt. How were they going to pay? The opening speech came, and a wealthy businessman, a man called Robert F. Smith, he rose, he came to the podium, he stood there, and what they were about to hear shocked them. 10 months ago, true story, Robert F. Smith stood up to the podium and he announced that he was going to pay for everybody's student debt, approximately $40 million. The audience went into shock and disbelief and tears and cheers as he announced that all of their debt was going to be completely removed. Can you imagine how you would have felt if you were there? We all have a great sin debt to God, but we're unable to pay. And God stepped up to the podium, as it were, and he said, I will pay. That is grace. And it's truly amazing. Today, we're going to talk about one of those angles of the diamond, and our title today is Abundant Grace. Abundant grace. Maybe you're familiar with this word grace. It's a whole lot more than something you do before you eat. Grace. And we're going to find out, what does Paul mean in that text to the church in the Roman people in the church in Rome? Now, Romans, if you didn't know, the letter to the Romans is considered the greatest revelation of Christian doctrine, which is just a nice fancy-pantsy word for teaching. It's the greatest revelation of Christian teaching anywhere in the Bible. It's full of theological and biblical and practical truth, but the one golden thread through the entire letter is that we have all sinned and deserve punishment. Yet, everyone say yet, God in his love and out of his grace has forgiven us, actually has justified us. We're going to open that word up next week. Next week is justifying grace. It's more than just forgiveness. Although forgiveness on itself is beautiful, isn't it? Has anybody here been forgiven by God, by human beings? Have you ever had to forgive yourself? I have. Sometimes that can be the hardest forgiveness to give and receive. So the text that Karina so eloquently read out to us is actually an intertwining. It's a story about two people. Two stories about two people. If you noticed in there, it kept talking about one man's trespass, one man's sin, one man's disobedience. That is the first person, the first Adam. His name was Adam. The first Adam, because there's a second Adam. These two Adams, he's referring to two individual men who did life so differently. They responded so differently. Did you notice the interplay of the verses? One man, but the other man. One man, but the other man. What I want to do today is do a little bit of teaching, and then I'm going to let rip and preach at you. Is anybody okay with that? There's something in my heart that I've got to get out of into you today. Oh, by the Spirit of God, truly, it's good to teach, and you need to have that as your framework and your basis and your platform and your foundation, but there's an impartation that God wants to do in our spirits this morning. And it's going to help people today, I'm telling you. You might remember back in Genesis chapter 3, we're back at the garden there, and God's intention was for pure fellowship. I don't know if we can understand this. His intention was for pure fellowship, spirit to spirit, absolutely no distance, no impurity, perfect, pure. I mean, the English language really struggles to capture the essence of this idea that there's absolutely no wrong attitude, no sin, no thought about sin, absolutely nothing, just unlimited blessing, wholeness, healing, completeness, fulfillment, security. That was heaven. That was God and his created man, Adam. And like all good dads, God said to Adam, hey, don't touch this. Isn't that the song, MC Hammer? Don't touch this. Don't touch this. I mean, he had everything at his disposal. He said to Adam, I give you one law. Don't touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All good parents don't want their kids to watch evil programs on TV. Parents try to hold evil back. That's why we have a rating system on entertainment. That's why parents, if you're a good mum and a good dad, you'll restrain what they watch because you don't want your children to be exposed to good and evil. Even good things like sex, you don't want them to be exposed to all good things. Because of age and maturity, God's a good father. He wasn't being vindictive. He wasn't being manipulative. He wasn't sadistic. He was a good father who said, you can enjoy everything, but just don't do this one thing, Adam, for your benefit, for your protection, for our relationship. We're trying to protect our relationship, right, Adam? But Adam, he rebelled. He rejected God's law, and he broke it. And all through the text that we read this morning, we see legal language. He transgressed. Maybe you've seen a sign on the side of a farm or a property that says, no trespassing, do not trespass. There's a legal barrier. If you go beyond a certain point, you've broken a law. These legal terms of transgression and then judgment and then condemnation. These are legal terms. And legal realities. And when Adam sinned, he wasn't just affected by it, but he was infected by it. Have you noticed how sin doesn't just affect us on the outside, it can infect us on the inside? In fact, because of his choice, the entire human race was infected by sin. In verse 15, it said, many died through one man's transgression. Many being you and I, humanity, all of mankind, died not physically but spiritually, although sin itself will send you to your grave a lot earlier. Our hearts were infected, we were born. I want you to catch this. If anyone thinks we're basically born good, friend, I've got to say I disagree wholeheartedly. You're not in agreement with the Bible. We are inherently, naturally, intrinsically evil. I just want you to go out there and visit our Every Nation kids and you'll see that kids are naturally, intrinsically selfish. Children don't have to be encouraged to do naughty things. They have to be encouraged to do good things. And if you're real honest with yourself, as I need to be here this morning, the reality is I have to try to be good. Because doing the wrong thing comes so easy. Are you like me? It's pretty quiet. Can we all agree that we are born sinful? And we have to learn how to do good and be good? That's why God put your mama in your life. And your pastor in your life. Why am I talking like this? I don't know. I feel like being, I don't know. You go for Mexico, eh? Interesting. Why in the text did it only talk about one man, Adam, and not Eve? Because God gave the law to Adam, not Eve. Sure, the enemy came to her initially, and we've got so much teaching in there, we're not even going to get into that this morning. But God didn't go Eve. There was one woman called Eve, and a second Eve called Jesus. That doesn't work anyway. Because he was a man. God held Adam to account because Adam was given the law. And he should have led his wife properly. Anyway, we're judged. We're condemned. But I think, more so, we're separated from God. I personally think that was the greatest pain that Jesus suffered on the cross. More than the physical was broken fellowship with his Father. When his Father turned his head, broken fellowship. And can I just tell you something? Can I summarize the Bible for you? From Genesis 4, the one chapter after Genesis 3, where we saw sin enter the human race, from Genesis 4 to the end of Revelation is a beautiful story of a father trying to reconcile his children. He sends kings, he sends prophets, he sends priests, he builds temples, he sends his own son, Jesus Christ, he sends the apostles. He's still doing it today. He's still raising up people, evangelists, pastors. He's raising up churches and missions across the globe because our Heavenly Father is trying to reach people. He's trying to get people back to that place in Genesis 2, in Genesis 1, of communion, of fellowship, of together, of absolute pureness. That is the Bible. Many books, many authors over a long period, but basically it's Father God trying to fix and reconcile broken relationship. And God's heartbeat is always still to restore and to reconcile that relationship. So man is lost, man is broken. As I see it, he's got three options, maybe a fourth. But I present to you three options. What can man do? What are his options? Number one, he can ignore God. When I'm talking about man, I'm including you, ladies, mankind. The girls aren't off the hook today. We're all in this together. We can ignore God, and some people choose to do that. They ignore God their whole life. Or secondly, we can try to work hard to perfectly obey the law of God. It's like being stuck in quicksand. The more you move and the more you try, the deeper it grips you. Actually, it doesn't work trying to fulfill the law of God. The law is there like a mirror to tell us our problem, but it can't fix our problem. We all looked at the mirror this morning. If you didn't, you should have. And it tells us, get help quick. Brush your hair, clean your teeth, floss the teeth, bit of Botox here and there in the morning. I don't know. The mirror can't fix us, the law can't fix us, but it does us a favor because it tells us what's wrong. We can ignore God or we can work hard to try to somehow fulfill God's law. Many religious people do that across the spectrum. Islam, Hinduism, Christianity, many people today going to Christian churches thinking it's going to make them right with God. There's a third option, and that's to hope that maybe somehow, someday, someone else will fix the solution, will fix the problem, will traverse this great dirty divide to reach our hearts and bring us back. Someone else, and that someone else is the second Adam. It's exactly what God did. He sent his son, a second Adam, because the first Adam mucked up and made a mistake. The first Adam does not have to be the last say. Verse 15, it says, but the free gift is not like the trespass. What's he saying there? Jesus is saying, he did it. He did it. The trespass we did, but he did. He brought the free gift. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounding for many. Beautiful free gift. That billionaire Robert F. Smith gave those students a free gift. But can I tell you today, we have received so much more than $100,000. We have received so much more than $1 million. We have received, if we are born again believers, we have eternal life in heaven. We have healing on even on this side of eternity. God's power has been moving through our lives. Can somebody get excited this morning? You've received a whole lot more than $100,000. The sad fact is most Christians will be happy with $100,000. That'll cause them to rejoice. That'll cause them to get excited. But what about salvation, friend? Exactly what they did. Verse 19, we see yet again another beautiful contrast between the first and the second Adam. I'm just teaching, by the way. We're not preaching yet. Keep it calm, Richard. For as by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, the many were made righteous. Righteousness. Right standing with God, being able to look at him with open eyes and a clean conscience instead of looking with shame and tilting our head with guilt. Being justified, being clean, without the stench and the stain of sin, completely free of guilt. That's righteousness. One man, the second Adam, is no less than Jesus Christ. The birth, the death, and the life of Jesus. This is a story where an innocent man gave his life for the guilty. How many of you this morning appreciate what Jesus did for you on the cross? Now, I don't think you honestly heard me this morning. How many of you appreciate what Jesus Christ did on the cross and resurrecting on the third day? Does anybody appreciate? I'm not trying to hype you up. I'm trying to get a response. Because if we're going to get more happy for $100,000, we've got a problem. You do understand this. Some of us get more excited over $1,000 dropped in a bank account than Jesus. Can I tell you, when those students heard, you can go back on YouTube, but when the students heard about the gift that their debt was wiped out, they didn't wait for the end to party. They stood up immediately. Their mouths were open. They were cheering and jeering and weeping and crying and saying, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. I've been set free from this debt. All of them did. Not one or two radical extroverts. Everybody was just overwhelmed with gratitude, friend. And that's why we come here, to praise Him and to worship Him. That's why it's not a problem for me to tithe to Him and to serve Him with all my heart, because I'm grateful, friend. If you have a small view of sin, you'll have a small view of your salvation. It's a free gift. It's much more than $100. It's much more than $1,000. It's much more than $1 million. It's life itself. Forgiveness. Being free from regret. It's beautiful. It's a free gift. And it is amazing. Maybe this is too much for some, so I might just break it down to a little story I came across, just to help us once again. We're just laboring this point a little bit so we understand grace. We understand what Jesus did. I'm sure some people don't fully get this morning. Here's a story for you. A young lady one day was speeding through a small Georgia town. She was traveling 70 miles per hour in a 55 mile per hour speed zone. The police pulled her over and wrote her a ticket that would cost her $100. She didn't have the money to pay it and ended up having to go to court over the ticket. In the courtroom, the judge said, "You are found guilty of going 70 miles an hour in a 55 mile speed zone. You have to pay $100. The young lady said, "I'm guilty, but I can't pay it. I don't have $100. "Well, if you don't pay the ticket, we'll have to lock you up for the weekend. I can't pay the ticket, but I don't want to go to jail. Can you please do something, judge?" The judge, matter-of-factly, replied, "I can't change the law. The law says that you've got to pay $100 or you will spend the weekend in jail. Those are the rules, and I can't change the rules." Starting to tear up, she spoke in a small voice, "Judge, isn't there something you can do? I can't pay, and I don't want to get locked up." The judge looked down, and he pushed his chair back from the bench. He zipped down his robe, and he took it off. He went over to the side. He picked up his jacket. He put it on. He walked down and stood beside the girl, reached into his wallet. He brought out a $100 bill. He put the $100 bill on the bench.
took off his jacket, then went out over and picked up his robe. He zipped the robe back up and he got back in his bench. And he said, young lady, you've been found guilty of going 70 miles an hour in a 55 mile per hour speed zone. The law is the law, and I can't change it. The law says you must pay $100 or spend the weekend in jail. Ah, but I see someone else has already paid the price. God saw us speeding down the highway of sin. He zipped down his independent use of his deity and put on the jacket of humanity. He came down, he died on the cross and paid the price that you and I could not pay. He picked up the tab, rose from the dead, zipped up his glorious body and ascended to heaven. The good news of the gospel is that a bill we could not pay has already been paid. It has been paid by God himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philip Yancey, in his book called What's So Amazing About Grace, he says the law merely indicates the sickness. Grace brought the cure. Well, we've talked about the second word in our title this morning. Grace is the second word, but I now want to shift it to the first word, and I want to preach this thing. Praise the Lord. It's been such a revelation to me. God's been showing me and working in me with regards to this, and I want to tell you, someone's going to get something this morning. I hope someone's heart and mind is going to be changed and transformed, because this is what we're going to do. I want you to look not just at what, but how much. Not just the grace, but how much. I want you to see that it's not just what God provided, what God has given, but how much God has given, how much God has provided. The free gift of grace is full of richness in its quantity, in its quality, but you need to see, friend, the vastness of its quantity. Let me repeat that. The free gift of grace is full of richness in its quality. But this morning I want you to see the vastness of his quantity. You see, some of you are about to realize that someone's going to set you free. Someone's going to realize today that God has actually done more than enough. Friend, I want to expose the lies of the enemy. I want to expose the lies of the devil this morning. I'm going to expose them. It's too late for some of you in this room. He keeps keeping you down. You keep thinking that his grace is not enough. You wouldn't say that, but that's how you feel about it. The devil wants to lie to you. He wants to keep you down. He wants to stop you rising up to your destiny, friend. Look, I want you to see this today. The language of quantity. The language of quantity. Let's go back over that text again. But the free gift is not like the trespass, for if many died through one man's trespass, much. Everyone say it, much more. We're gonna shout it out when we come to the bold text, okay? Much more. Have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like that result of one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. Oh, yes, for it, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through one man. Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, by the one man's obedience the many were made righteous. Now the law came to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounds all the more. Hallelujah. So that as sin reigned in death, so forth. Did you see the language of quantity in there? Amen. Band, come on up here, just the band. Did you see the language of quantity? Yes. I want you to see this, friend. I got to tell you today, all of it is available to you. Amen. Do not discount yourself. God's grace, catch this, friend. God's grace is greater than your disgrace. Oh, you want me to say that again? God's grace is greater than your disgrace. God's grace is greater than your sin. God's grace is greater than your mistakes, friend. Oh, you may have made a mistake, but you are not a mistake. The devil wants you to think that you are a mistake. No, you're not. God made you. He destined, he designed you. Everybody's made mistakes. You don't have to be maimed and haunted by the mistakes of the past. You may have failed, but you're not a failure. You missed a great opportunity to say, amen, pastor. You're preaching good, pastor. I'm trying to help you, friend. You may have failed. I've failed. But you are not a failure. God takes our mistakes and he makes miracles out of them. Oh, friend, I'm going to keep coming at you until somebody does something in this room. You might even get out of your seat and begin to dance. I don't know. But God's grace is bigger than your shame. God's grace is bigger than your guilt. God's grace is bigger than condemnation. Friend, you're forgiven. Your past is pardoned. Your present is powerful. And your future is promised. Heaven wants to make you, but hell wants to maim you. Oh, friend, I want to tell you, some people believe that his sin is beyond God's grace. It's rubbish. It's not true. It's a lie of the devil. You've done nothing to discount yourself from the grace, the abundant grace, the abounding grace, the majestic grace of God. Maybe you think, oh, but pastor, what I have been involved in is too dark, too far, too much, too broken. I'm here to tell you that his grace is bigger. His grace, his unmerited favor, his bountiful pleasures coming from his heart is for you. He's not against you. His grace is stronger. God's grace is abundant. God's grace is bigger than what you have done. God's grace is bigger than what you've done. Have you heard me now? The devil wants to keep you down. He wants to make you feel worthless. But today the Spirit of God wants to tell you, friend, no matter what sin you have committed, I want to tell you that God's grace is greater, more abundant. It's more than whatever you've done. It's more than that. Somebody's got to hear this morning. There's a battle in this room for souls. There's a battle for the souls and peace, the peace of God in the hearts of people, feeling condemned, feeling unworthy, feeling living under the shadow and the stain of a mistake. God says, if you turn around your mess, give it to me, I'll make it a message. If you turn around, I'll forgive you and clean you. My grace is available to you. It's abundant. Abundant. The abundant grace of God is greater than what you and I really deserve. Has anybody here received the grace of God in their life? Oh, Lord. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We don't deserve it. Your favor, your intervention, your acceptance. Holy Spirit. Don't let your mistakes hold you hostage, friend. Let God's grace lift you out. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to magnify your mistakes. What we've got to do is magnify Jesus. I hope you're happy about what Jesus has done. It's bigger than your past. It's bigger than the horrible things that other people did to you. He will heal you. He'll restore you. He'll forgive you. He'll cleanse you no matter what it is. No matter how far, how dark. His grace is abundant. While eyes are closed, I just want to give an opportunity to anybody this morning who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Maybe you feel like the first Adam. You've failed so much and you feel so far from God. know you need to come home. Like the prodigal son, you want to make peace with God. The Bible uses a word called repentance. It simply means turning around, turning away from sin, and turning to Jesus. Friend, I've got to tell you, only Jesus will satisfy, and only Jesus can forgive. If that's you this morning, and you want to come to God, receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up so I know who you are. We can follow you up and talk with you. Let's just have a private moment, just eyes closed. On the count of three, if you want to come to Jesus, give your whole heart to Him, maybe for the first time, or maybe you've walked away from Him and you want to come back, He will accept you. He loves you. He died for you. One, two, three. Anybody this morning? Anybody this morning want to put your hand up nice and high? Praise Jesus. Praise God. Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. Let's open our eyes. Thank you so much for listening. But we're not done yet, because I want us to break into threes. And I want us to answer a couple of questions, or at least one of the two questions. I put two there because some people feel being railroaded, or maybe find one question a little easier to answer. We're going to break into threes. And please make it threes. Just don't want just couples doing their thing, but want us to be inclusive and grab other people. Here's a question. How has God's grace impacted your life? And the second question, if you've got time, is what is one thing you have learnt or has been reinforced through this message? We're going to take 5 minutes to just talk it through as a family. If you're a guest here today, we want you to be included in this. We hope you don't feel awkward or vulnerable, you know, exposed. But just answer the question at the level that you're comfortable with. Okay, can we just get into threes, not twos, and hopefully not fours? Okay, we don't want big groups. We want everyone to talk and share. Okay, just find a person. Feel free to move out of your chair, grab a corner somewhere, and just answer one or both of these questions after 5 minutes. Just begin to answer those questions now after you've done the introductions. Feel free to disconnect a chair or two and rotate around if you need to. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace, Lord.
If you're finished sharing, just begin to pray for each other. Just bless each other. Pray blessing over them. Feel free to pray in whatever language you prefer. If you're finished, just pray. Just one more minute. Father, we thank you for our day. We just commit the rest of our day to you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the goodness of God that's been poured into our life. Lord, I just declare great grace over the people of God. Father, bless each one. Watch over them. May your face shine upon them now. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Feel free to keep talking. Just keep hanging out here. If you're done, feel free to go get a tea and a coffee. Thank you for coming. God bless.